When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Sports Beat KC, the Kansas City Star Sports Podcast. What a busy week in area sports. The Royals continue spring training in Surprise, Arizona, while the case for a new ballpark continues to be made in Kansas City. It's NFL free agency time, and the Chiefs made one of the biggest splashes over the weekend, giving Chris Jones a long-term contract. The Kansas City Current's about to make history. Saturday, they'll move into the first stadium constructed specifically for a women's professional team. And we'll discuss all of those stories on other shows. Today, we're talking Big 12 basketball tournament. This show has already rolled into town with the women's tournament, and now the men take center stage. On today's show, beat writer Kellis Robinette joins me, Blair Kirkhoff, in breaking down the event. We discuss Kansas State's chances of the NCAA tournament and the Wildcats season. We also talk about KU's prospects without its top two players, Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCullough, and what lies ahead for both teams. Okay, let's get going talking hoops with Kellis Robinette. Kellis, this reminds me of the time you and I used to come back to this interview area at the Big 12 tournament, and we would video a conversation. Remember that? I actually had a microphone we'd pass back and forth, but no video today, just good old cell phone recording for the podcast. I'm glad you're here. You came down to see Kansas State fall to Texas in the women's Big 12 semifinal. Same two schools are matching up again in the first game of the men's tournament for each school on Wednesday, right? I've got that right, don't I? Wednesday is when they'll play.
Correct. Yes.
So we'll touch a little bit on the women's tournament in a bit. Let's talk about the Big 12 men's tournament that starts on Tuesday here at T-Mobile Center. Kansas State is the number 10 seed, and the Wildcats desperate for victories here in Kansas City to become an NCAA tournament team. I think it's a big uphill climb for the Wildcats. What do you think?
No, I agree with you totally. They would be on the outside looking in if the season ended today. Most bracket projections do have them on the bubble technically, but they're in the, the under consideration teams, the 10th team out, the 8th team out. They've really got to win some games here, and the bubble's kind of shifted against them in some ways. I think Indiana State losing in the MVC final hurts. That's another team they potentially have to pass. But the good news is, and you've seen this every time Kansas State wins, is even though they've had stretches this season where they've lost, every Big 12 win is so meaningful that it just bumps them back up. A lot of people, really including me, last week at this time, I thought the only way they could get in the NCAA tournament would be by winning the Big 12 tournament. Lo and behold, they beat Iowa State, and all of a sudden they're right back where they were before they lose a couple games. So these wins mean so much. They count as quad one wins. If they can get two wins in Kansas City, that would mean they would beat Texas, which would be another quad one win, and they'd beat Iowa State again to get to the semis. If they could do that, I think they'd be right on the cut line. It would be nervous, but they could go into Selection Sunday thinking maybe we'll be in that first four, maybe heading to Dayton. They can win three games to reach the final. At that point, you're probably thinking, okay, this is looking good. And then obviously if they win all four, they're in. No question, they've got the automatic berth. The one thing I will caution anybody out there saying it, they can get there by falling short, is I would point to what Texas A&M did in the SEC tournament, I believe 2 years ago, where they were pretty much in the exact same position, reached the final. Everyone said they've won all these games. They look great. They definitely have to be in. They ran out of gas in the final, couldn't close the door. The selection committee the next day leaves them out and says, you know what, we just don't value all that much what happened in the SEC tournament. I would just caution anybody to say maybe that happens again. Maybe they say, you know what, we value the regular season more than these conference tournaments. So that's why if I were Kansas State and I got that far, I would say let's absolutely win this.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a really good point. I'd forgotten about that until you brought it up. But, yes, I remember what happened to those Aggies.
SEC people were aghast.
Yes.
I felt that way.
Yep, I remember that. But what I'm going to do now is read off some of the schools that basically Kansas State is competing against, not at the Big 12 tournament, but on the bubble, for the bubble. So here are just a few. New Mexico, Villanova, the aforementioned Texas A&M Aggies, Iowa, Wake Forest, Pitt, Providence, Ohio State, Indiana State, St. John's, and Virginia. Okay, that's just about 10 to 12 schools that are – some are on the wrong side, some are on the right side of the bubble right now based on projections. By the way, I get my projections in a list like this from a website called bracketmatrix.com.
Yes, great service.
Isn't it a cool site? Bracket Matrix is the compilation of about 50 to 75 –
I think it's 100.
Is it up to 100 mock brackets? Uh-huh. So, you know, maybe you like – Jerry Palm, who I do like, his CBS Sports Bracket, or maybe you're Joe Lenardi or whatever, whoever else has bracketology. This compiles all the bracketology and comes up with an average for it. So these are the first teams out or the last teams in according to Bracket Matrix. And I read off those names because with the exception of any Big East team, let's just say Villanova, nobody else is going to have the opportunity that Kansas State has to pick up quality wins,
yeah,
as
exactly.
You mentioned. You just rattled them off. Texas is in the tournament right now. Iowa State is in the tournament right now. And whoever, if Kansas State wins those games and if they play, you know, reach the semifinals and finals, they'll play teams that are in the NCAA tournament. And I think if you add those series of quad one victories, two or three of them, that's going to improve the Wildcats' resume to a point where it'll jump over many of these teams that I just mentioned. And then it'll be very interesting. As it stands right now, the Wildcats are 18-13, 8-10 in the Big 12, the nation's most difficult conference. I don't know how many quad one wins they have.
I think it's six, but I don't remember
okay.
exactly.
I'll look
it's
it
kind
up.
Of screwy with the whole home and away
match,
but
it is. Yep.
They've at home alone. They've cleaned up at home. They beat Iowa State, obviously, BYU, Baylor, Kansas. They beat Villanova. I'm not sure if that counts as quad one or not. It might, and they beat Providence on a neutral floor, which might count as that. I think that would be their six. And it's that.
Very good wins.
Very good wins. Their wins isn't what's holding them back. It's that six or seven? I can't remember which one. A lot of their wins have come in overtime, and some of those wins were against Oral Roberts. Was it North Alabama they beat in overtime?
I think so. Yeah,
be beating in overtime, and it's really drugged their net ranking down to the point where that's what's hurting me. If they had a net that was similar to even like Cincinnati in the 30s or something, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. Even with 18 wins, I think they would be in.
What is their net? Approximately
around 70.
Yeah, that's outside. I mean, a net of 70 with unless you've got some other redeeming qualities, that's outside the norm for a team that would be an at-large selection.
It might have moved up after they beat Iowa State. I haven't monitored exactly.
Okay.
But the beauty, I guess, of the Big 12 tournament for them is not only do they have these games that would very much boost their resume in front of them, they don't have to play them on the road anymore. They only won one Big 12 game away from home all season, but a lot of teams struggled on the road. Kansas couldn't really beat anybody on the road. Iowa State, as good as they are, struggled on the road. Even Houston, all their road losses,
all their conference losses came on
the road. Yep. It's just been very, very hard for whatever reason for anybody in this league to go on the road and beat somebody else. And that's what I think I'm most looking forward to about this tournament is that's all done. Teams like K-State, KU, Iowa State actually will have a little bit of an advantage here because they'll have the crowd with them. But I think that'll even things out a little bit and really – I mean, I know Houston's amazing. Maybe they'll just win this too, but it should even out the playing field a little bit.
Well, we'll talk about the KU disadvantage here in a little bit when it comes to the roster. Some news that came down today, but But keeping with the Kansas State conversation, I thought early on in the season they had to adjust to not having Naquan Tomlin, and you could tell some of the decisions early in the season were it was a matter of adjusting. But when Kansas State got rolling in January, where they got off to a really nice conference start, a big three emerged, right? Kaluma, Perry, and Cam Carter. But often that's kind of what you need. You need a big three. Kansas State had that. But Tyler Perry the last couple games seems to have disappeared a little bit. And that game he had at Lawrence.
Dreadful.
I couldn't believe that. Then he didn't. Even though Kansas State played well overall and beat Iowa State, he didn't have a great game against the Cyclones either. So I imagine the idea is that Kansas State is hopeful that he finds his groove here in Kansas City. But what's going on with Tyler Perry?
Well, first off, I just looked it up. Kansas State is number 70 on the net on the nose. So we had
perfect.
That there.
They had it. Nailed it. Nailed it.
With Tyler Perry, it's a very interesting question. He has been about he's the quintessential hot and cold player. He goes from game to game. You never really know what you're going to get. From half to half, you don't totally understand. I've seen him go scoreless in a half and still end with 24 points. It's unbelievable. When he flips that switch, it's just on and he's scoring. And for me, I think that makes him one of the better players in the Big 12. I actually voted him onto my second team All-Big 12 ballot. I think he's that good. When he's at his best, I think he's better than most players in the league.
God, he can shoot. Boy, he's a second-half player as well. When he was at his best, he was killer in second halves of games.
He is, and he was. I think the reason you're seeing less consistency from him right now than maybe you saw last year at North Texas – it's two things. North Texas, their offense was very structured under Grant McCaslin last year. They played very slow. They just wore other teams down, then tried to get him the ball open on the wing late in shot clocks, and he really thrived in those opportunities. He came off ball screens. They did a lot of different creative ways to get him the ball when he was playing off guard. This year he's been much more on the point. They've tried to move some other guys in there and let them hunt for shots off the ball. It hasn't always worked out. And I think just that difference, it's still this late in the season. Kansas State just doesn't have the perfect personnel to suit him. And in certain situations, when they play an opponent who can't, you know, stop that defensively, I think that's one reason why you saw him play bad against Kansas, is their guards get after you. Deshaun Harris he doesn't let you
He's a very good defensive guard.
Yes, and when he's on Perry, it's just very hard for him to get up shots when they're just all over him. And Iowa State was the same way, but just to another degree. Every time he had the ball, they came and trapped him. He faced a lot of two-on-one pressure, not even just one-on-one really good defensive pressure. So when other teams are looking to shut him down, he's maybe a little bit too passive, looks to distribute more than shoot. And I think that's what has happened the past two games. But you are absolutely right. He needs to figure out a way to score in bunches if they're going to make a run in the Big 12 tournament. And I would say, as good as it's been to have a big three this season, I think if they really want to get to where they need to go, they need to have a big four. And that means David Gasson coming off the bench and giving him 10 points every game.
Heard there was the one more year chant for old David Gasson.
There was. in an age of transfers where on senior day, it's not always actually honoring seniors who've been there very long. It was kind of cool to hear him, having an emotional attachment to somebody, even though he's only been there 2 years. It would be cool for him to come back and play a third. And what I thought was actually neat about that is most of the time when you hear those kind of chants, it's reserved for, a star player, like what you would hear for, like Marquise Noel last year or Jacob Pullen in the past. But this is for a guy who's coming off the bench and just has been a really selfless player, and he's given him a lot of hustle minutes. And I think it's cool that they recognize him for that.
He's my favorite Dutch college player.
without a doubt. Though I think Jesse Edwards, is that his name, right? He plays for West Virginia.
Yeah.
I believe he is also from the Netherlands. So, but yes, I'm with you. You gotta love anybody from the Netherlands who can play basketball, and he doesn't.
We had a conversation in the Wildcats locker room in Greensboro last year in the first and second round. We were talking about Johan Cruyff, the great
Dutch soccer player, and he was breaking down Cruyff's game. And
oh wow!
So it was that was fun. That was fun. So Kansas State opens up against Texas in the Big 12 tournament, and you know. Jerome Tang's second year, it would have been hard to imagine Kansas State, given the players they lost, including Tomlin before the season. You mentioned Noel and Johnson, that they would have matched an Elite Eight type of season this year. But what's kind of a bottom line for how Kansas State has performed relative to expectation? I think they were preseason number six choice in the league, six or seven, and they're going to be the 10 seed. Is this a little bit of a disappointment, or does it depend on what they do here? Let's just say for argument's sake they don't make the NCAA tournament and they're hosting a game or two in the NIT. But how would you label this season?
That is a great question, Blair. I think if you're judging it just on the regular season, given the setbacks they've had on their roster, you'd probably say it's a mild disappointment. I don't think fans are, you know, like mad at Jerome Tang or think he did a bad job this season. Even without having Naquan Tomlin play a single minute, even without Quez Glover playing a single minute, they're still really close to being solidly in the NCAA tournament right now. They lose to Texas Tech by 1 point in the game they led most of the way. They lose to Oklahoma State on the road by 3 in a game that was right up in the air.
That was the big groan loss. Yeah,
they lose to Cincinnati on the road when they lead in the final 20 seconds. I mean, now that's given that they also went 7-0 in overtime games. So yes. If you give those to them as well, then you're really, you know, things are going perfect. But if those three things also break their way, we're not even talking about this. They're in the NCAA tournament. Again, if they go 500 in those overtime games, then maybe we're saying this is a disappointment. Yeah. So you can frame it any way you want. But I think given what we've talked about, they only really trust 7 guys on most nights. They've got a big 3, but they're never all that consistent. I don't know that if you'd have told people preseason you weren't going to have Tomlin or Glover and you'd still win 8 games in the conference, I think most fans would say, well, you know what, that understandable. I don't like it. But, you know, I get it. Now, if they'd had this record with Tomlin and Glover, then people would – it'd be a different story. But you see the numbers that Tomlin's put up in Memphis. I mean, they could use another 15 points a game. If they can get that, then it's a different story. But it will be interesting looking ahead next season because, you know, last year they had dudes. This year they don't have just – they need a few more. So they need to go out and in the recruiting trail, hit that transfer portal, and see if they can upgrade in a few spots.
Yeah, you mentioned the wild and crazy statistic, the overtime success. Jerome Tang is 12-0 in overtime games in his career. But also, I just think when they had that stretch of 7 losses in 8 games, the one win being the overtime win over KU at home, mm-hmm. they lost 7 of 8. If just 2 of those games had gone their way, you know, then you're looking at 10-8 instead of 8-10 in the conference.
Absolutely.
And you're looking at
Absolutely.
20 wins by now, 20-11. You are in the tournament. You wouldn't even have to come to Kansas City and win a game, I don't think. But that's just how narrow this season has been for the Wildcats. Let's talk a little bit about the conference, though. I go back to Bracket Matrix. They've got 9 Big 12 schools in the tournament. They've got Houston as a 1, Iowa State as a 2, Baylor and KU as a 3. Let's hold on and talk about KU in a second. BYU a 4, Texas Tech a 7, Texas an 8, OU a 9, and TCU a 10. You saw Houston play this year. I've seen them on TV a few times. They are damn good. They are Final Four good, maybe even national championship good.
They are really good. They are a juggernaut, and especially at home. And I say this with all due respect to Allen Fieldhouse, to Bramlage, to every other place in the Big 12. Yeah. I've never seen a bigger home court advantage than they have there. And I'm not saying that the crowd is like any better than you get anywhere else, but you put that team in front of its home fans – with refs helping him out on defense, you might as well not bother going. Like that, I'd never been to a game really before where just 2 minutes in, I was like, well, this it's lost. It's a lost cause. That's how I felt watching the Kansas State game. And I'm sure the KU fans felt that, what, maybe 30 seconds into watching their game?
Yeah, last just Saturday,
I'd never seen KU in a game where they're down 30 points in the first half. And, yeah, Houston, they play – the half-court defense they play with is astonishing. It's just like a death trap. You can't – you might
they smother you.
Yes, they smother you. If you're open, you might as well shoot it because – if you pass, you're just going to end up turning it over. It's crazy. And they still have an efficient offense, too, which is the most impressive thing to me. Is they're not going to come out and outscore you and drop 100, but their efficiency numbers are good. I really like L.J. Cryer, Jamal Shedd. I mean, that was the easiest choice for Big Joe Player of the Year as I've ever seen. I mean, he just killed it on both sides of the court. And I like to think some other teams have a chance this week, just because it's a tournament setting, 3 games in 3 days. You know, maybe that defense breaks down a little bit and they lose somewhere. But whew, it's going to be tough for anybody to take them down.
I think the only team that has a real shot at Houston here in Kansas City would be Iowa State, the 2 seed. And only because Iowa State beat Houston in Hilton earlier in the year. I think that was Houston's first loss. It may have been their first loss overall. But Iowa State in this building is phenomenal.
Absolutely.
They perform over and above their regular season when they come here. And
you know that game's going to be a rock fight too. So nobody's running away from the other.
Nope.
It's going to be like 60-58 winner. I could see that. I would say I think Baylor, under the right circumstances, could win it. I actually like their path because we haven't talked about them yet, but their first game, they're either getting Cincinnati, West Virginia, or Kansas, or a wounded Kansas team.
Very wounded.
Yeah. I would imagine they win that game pretty easily.
Yep, handily.
And then if they advance, they get to play Iowa State or K-State or Texas. And those teams are just going to be coming off an absolute war.
Good point.
So beating Iowa State in this arena on one day rest, not easy, but Baylor would have a slight advantage in some areas there. So I would give them a chance. The only fear I would have with Houston is that they did lose to TCU this season, and they needed a last-second shot to beat Oklahoma. That's who they would play in the first round. I mean, I'm stretching here. I don't think either of them could beat them, but that would be the only thing that would Houston.
I think I'm right about this, that this building, T-Mobile Center, has been host to Sweet 16s in 2 of the last 4 years or 5 years. It was 2019 and then last year. Houston was in both of them and lost their first game both times.
You're right.
They lost to, I think it was Kentucky in 2019. That was the year that Auburn came out of here to go to the Final Four. And last year, I want to say it was Miami
right?
that knocked them.
Nigel Pack. Yep.
Played really well. And then Miami came out of here to emerge to go to the Final Four. So Houston.
That's right. We had Houston and Texas in here for the NCAA.
Houston looking for its first victory in this building. So we mentioned this earlier in the episode. Kansas, we found out today that Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCullers will not play in the Big 12 tournament. Bill Self announced it on his radio show. They will play in the NCAA. Of course, that's what being Kansas is like. They can talk about saving them for the NCAA because they know that they're in it. I don't think that they'll be a number 3 seed, which is what Bracket Matrix have them. I think they'll be a 4. But anyway, how good could Kansas be without Dickinson and McCuller? They're looking at a starting lineup right now: KJ Adams, Furphy, Timberlake, Elmarco Jackson, and Dwan Harris.
Well, I think not playing Dickinson actually opens up some interesting things for them.
Some possibilities, huh?
I mean, it really does. I like KJ Adams at 5. He did it all last year, and they were a number 1 seed in the tournament. I mean, he can do it. I think they could spread the floor, go small, make some 3s. I would expect him to beat either Cincinnati or West Virginia. Now then it would get tricky against Baylor and moving forward. What you really miss is McCuller, just because he's the one guy when, you know, things aren't going right, you can give it to him late in possession and he'll try to go get you a bucket. Without him, I don't know. That's been their whole problem all year when he's not in the games. They don't have anybody who can do that. And, you know, Dickinson, that's been their thing all season, is when they're in a bind, just throw it into him and hope he can make a hook shot. I actually think maybe I'm being too optimistic here, but I think not having him in there could, like I said, maybe it opens up some things.
It'll be interesting.
Maybe they score in different ways. I'd rather have him at the NCAA tournament than not. I'm not saying you don't want him out there, but McCullough being out worries me much more than Dickinson. Both of them being out, I don't know if there's a number you could put on their future that would make me bet them to win this thing. They were, I think today, I looked, they were 10-1 coming in before the news. It'd be interesting to see what they are
as you, as you scramble
I'll have to look and see if I can spot that at
your friendly app for that. And while you're doing that, let's talk about, but just an hour ago, the Kansas State women fell to Texas in the Big 12 women's semifinals. The K-State women are definitely heading to the NCAA tournament. And the question now becomes, do they get a top four seed, which would give them the opportunity to host first and second round at Bramlage? What's the feeling about K-State and that chance?
Well, first off, I'll say I don't even see Big 12 tournament odds at the moment.
Oh,
so they must be scrambling to figure out what the heck to do about this. but the women's team, yes, I think – it's an interesting scenario for them. Are they one of the best 16 women's teams in the country? Yes, I think absolutely.
I think so, too.
And I don't think losing to Texas hurts that. I mean, they played them really tough. That fourth quarter was very entertaining.
Yes, they had the lead with a couple minutes to go.
Yeah, I don't...
lost by seven.
Yeah, I don't hold that against them, really. All right, I found one on 13-1 now, so their odds didn't dip too much.
Okay.
I would need a much bigger number than that to put any money on Kansas. But all right, shifting to the women, I think the argument is, are they one of the best 16s? Yes, especially with Ayoka Lee. They played seven games without her this season, and even when she was back, she was at limited health. Now she looks much healthier. She had 25-10 the night against Texas. Take that all into consideration. If you're just awarding the best 16 teams, then yes, I think they should be a four seed. They should be playing in Manhattan. They get to host games. It'd be really cool. Question is, does the selection committee look at it that way, or do they try to give it to the best 16 resumes out there, regardless of health and other factors? If that's the case, then they're going to be right on the edge. Maybe they get left out. I'm biased here. I hope they get to host. That would be really cool. I think they deserve it.
But if Kellis gets to sleep in his own bed.
Yes, that would be that would be fun. But, I mean, it's just a cool thing. That's the difference between the men's tournament and the women's tournament. The women get to host.
And they would have great crowds at Bramlage. Yeah, they'd
have a great crowd. And, you know, the one knock on K-State basketball over the past two decades is they've had some really good, exciting teams over the years. But just whenever, for whatever reason, they get the NCAA tournament, they bow out early. I think even under their best times under Deb Patterson, they only got to the Sweet 16 one time. You got a great team here right now, great center. It would be great to take advantage of that, play at home, get in that second weekend. I hope it happens.
Yeah. Well, it's a fun time of year. It's a great time of year. March in Kansas City, the Big 12. You know, we're going to lose Texas and Oklahoma after this year, but then the Big 12 brings in Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah. It's going to be a monster tournament next year. I don't know how they're going to break. I guess we'll talk to Brett Yormark and see if there's any thought about how the bracket's going to go. I don't know how you do a 16-team bracket. We'll see. Maybe if you want to keep the top four seeds double by, then a bunch of teams might have to win five to advance. I don't know how it's going to work.
Hey, that's why they pay them the big bucks.
That's right.
And not
figure
us.
It out. Figure it out. All right, Kellis, thanks so much, buddy. We'll talk again soon. That'll do it for today. Thanks to Randy Mason for pulling together today's show, and to our SportsBeat KC staff of Monty Davis, Jeff Rosen, and Scott Chasen. Tip of the cap to Kellis Robinette for sharing his insights. We get you covered during this busy time in sports in the print editions of The Star on our website, kansascity.com, and in the nation's best digital sports page, The Morning Sports Edition. That can be found at liveedition.kansascity.com. Check it out. Thanks for listening, and let us know what you thought of the show with a rating and a review. We'll be back soon with another SportsBeat KC, where we talk sports in and around Kansas City.